Well, all right, folks, I wanted to relate a story from Russia concerning the last century during the time around 1921 to 23 until the present. And it's from Boris Sarkovsky, and it's about his family and the people that were taken out of Russia because of the Bolshevik Revolution. There was a revolution back in 1917 in Russia that threw Russia into darkness, great darkness of atheism, and the authorities there fighting against God. So the Lord, back during that time, sent help to Russia through an evangelist that was in the USA. He was a Russian guy, but the Lord sent him back to Russia to preach the apostolic message. And that was the message of salvation, the message of sanctification, and the message of holiness, so that his people could be delivered of this oppression that was coming. He had warned them. But anyway, let's get into that. These were a simple people back during that time, and most of them at the time were farmers. There wasn't hardly any kind of an education at all, and the message that he preached was believed. And because it was believed, God had revival break out, and it spread like a wildfire through all of the villages and many towns throughout Russia. And within that first 7 or 8 years, from 1923, by the way, that's when the evangelist went over there, when God sent that man into Russia, revival took over the whole of the Ukraine and all of Russia, as far as the Ural Mountains. And that's the mountain range that runs north and south that divides Russian mainland from Siberia. So the Lord was doing a mighty thing there, and he was establishing a church there, a living church, which was separating itself from the Orthodox Church. And the Orthodox Church, as you know, you might be aware of, worshipped idols, and they worshipped icons and crosses and all kinds of things. And but this revival, many thousands and thousands of people came to the Lord through that simple evangelistic message and the power of the Holy Ghost, back just like it was in the days of the apostles. And the Lord used these poor folks, these peasants, to walk on foot and to go on horseback and on carts spread out throughout the whole of Russia. Now, he didn't use cars and jets and things, and buses and big old RVs and things like that, because he didn't have any money to buy them, or didn't have any. They didn't have any big signs either. All they had to rely on was the Lord. The Lord would pick out certain men by the Holy Spirit, and he would tell them to fast and to pray. And he'd tell them the name of a village and the name of the street in that village and the name of a person on that street in that village where they ought to go. And the Lord knew who was prepared in that village. And the brothers would go there, and they'd find the man in the house, and that man was ready and prepared by the Lord to receive that message. They would start singing, and they would start preaching the message. And before you knew it, the whole village would gather in by the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Now, these were not intellectually eloquent people. They were not people that had very communicative skills. All they were just simple farmers carrying the simple message of the gospel, the truth gospel, the true gospel, and the power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you know that when you got the power of the Holy Ghost behind you, revival's going to start? Praise God. And these were just like the simple fishermen back in the days of Christ. They were preaching the gospel, not in their own might, but in the might of the Holy Ghost. And what would happen? That whole village would gather. And before you knew it, most of the village had come to the Lord. And one day they'd be drinking vodka, and they'd be worshiping those idols, and then repentance would hit. And then they became empowered of the Holy Ghost, and miracles would begin to take place all over the place. And Boris talks about that his mother would related most of these things that happened over there to him. He said that, or she said that, all the miracles that happened in the days of the apostles and throughout the Old Testament were repeated in those days in Russia. They included resurrection of the dead, healing of the sick, deliverances, great deliverances. And God was proving himself a mighty and living God. Praise God. And that was the direct working of the Lord in Russia. And that revival spread right through the land. The people were blessed. They didn't have any Bibles or many Bibles. They had some, a few, but very few. There was no printing press to take care of the needs of the Word of the Lord in Russia because there were so many people coming to the Lord. They couldn't keep up with it. There were some Bibles that were printed in England back in the 18th century that found their way there, but they were too few and they were far between. But what happened was that the Lord God Himself taught them by the Holy Ghost, by direct revelation, by visions, by angels, and by the word of prophecy. The Lord taught them without Bibles the principles of holy living and separation from the world. The Lord taught them that the commandment of washing the saints' feet, so that the Russian Revival Church practiced the washing of the feet. The ladies covered their head. They had head covering. The Lord taught him that it is the sign, the visible sign of headship in the house. And for the angels, that sign's got to be. And a lot of other things the Lord taught, specifically by the Holy Ghost, because the people didn't have Bibles. And then, of course, when the brethren had the opportunity to check with the Bible, it fell right into place. It was right in the Word. The work of the Holy Spirit was one, because the Word and the Spirit is one, and it can't work otherwise. If anybody claims revelation, but it ain't in the Word of God, and if they are contrary to it, then you ought to throw it out. And beware of that person. But this was the mighty revival in Russia which took place in that generation. It was a blessing of the Lord. And God had prepared Russia for the great and dark hours of the godless atheism and persecution to come. Now the reason I'm telling you this story is because we've got this same wilderness that's fixing to, it's right on the horizon for us here. I know that America hasn't had any kind of a persecution or tribulation, like they have in other places in the world, but we're fixing to get it. God is fixing to shake our lives. He's fixing to shake the church first. He's going to shake them loose from their religion. He's going to shake them loose from the idols that they have in their lives. And he's going to shake them loose from that apostate religion. And I praise God for it. Well, as time went along, around 1928, the Holy Spirit started to speak throughout all groups and churches in Russia. They didn't build churches because they didn't have any time back then. If they'd had time, they wouldn't have been able to build fast enough because the people were coming to the Lord in big numbers. There were multitudes coming to the Lord because it was the work of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the work of man. It wasn't what you call an evangelistic meeting. It was the Lord. When the Lord does it, people come to Christ. It wasn't man's program. Man didn't have nothing to do with it. These were uneducated, simple people of God. It was the work of the Holy Ghost. Believers just gathered in homes. Boris asked his mother, he said, what was the secret of the continuing presence and the mighty miracles of the Lord in Russia? She said, the secret was the same as it was in the days of the apostles. It was mighty prayers. Did you hear me? It was mighty prayers. Russia experienced mighty prayers. People were in prayer daily all over the village or whenever the groups gathered. Every night there were prayers. To pray for 2, 3, or 4 hours, that was nothing unusual. Mighty prayers to God, with God revealing, with God speaking, with God rebuking, and God revealing secret sins of the hearts right in those prayer meetings. And here's the best part of it all. People were trembling. when they were walking to those home meetings. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. They knew the Lord is alive and that they had better walk gently, softly, and holy. Otherwise, the Lord would reveal their sin right there on the spot as they entered in. In other words, they had to check their demons at the door. The Lord would reveal whatever those shortcomings they had or their sins were. And that was the direct work of the Holy Ghost. All right? And about 1928, the Lord had started to speak throughout all those home groups throughout Russia about what was fixing to happen. The Lord said by the Holy Ghost, "My children, there will be a great starvation coming to this land. And after that, there will be a great bloodshed and much suffering in this country. My children, whosoever will believe my voice and obey me, I'll lead you out into another country, and I want to deliver you and save you from the great sufferings which are coming upon this land." That was the voice of the Lord coming independently throughout that whole Russian area. And many people have heard the same message about the days to come that we're in now. Now, that message came through, and of course at that time, people were still living very freely, even though it was during the communist regime. It took communists about 16 years to get in power and in strength. They had to get all of their people in place, you see. And they were doing that from 1917 to about 1933. And they left the people untouched. And there was freedom and relative freedom of movement and preaching of the gospel. And there wasn't a whole lot of persecution at that time. But from 1933 and on, they clamped down. And then it was a ruthless time of persecution and trouble for Russia. Before that time, there was relative freedom for the gospel there. People lived freely. They had their own houses. They had their own cattle. Mostly they were farmers, so they had their own farms. They were quite well off. But there was a cost. The Lord was speaking that He wanted to deliver them from future suffering, so the Lord saved. He set a condition. "Whosoever believeth my voice and obeys me, I'll lead them out." You know, it's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's not enough to have miracle. That's all nice and well, and it's in the Scriptures, and it's got to be a part of the church's life. And it's for the New Testament believers, but there's going to come a time when people have to pay the cost of obedience, forsaking all for the sake of fulfilling the Lord's will, and leave whatever and go wherever the Lord will lead you. Out of those thousands and thousands of Christians who were used by God in Russia to proclaim the gospel and to spread the message of the living God, only a few hundred believed. And the Lord said to them, "My children, pray and seek my face, and I'll direct you." Now, eventually around 1930, probably 1931, the Lord's message came. He said, "My people, it's time to move out." You know, first of all, the Lord's always going to speak to you in advance. And as you read the Word of God, just like in the Old Testament, you read it in the New, that the Lord will always warn His people in advance. He will tell them of the things to come because Christ promised. He said, "When I go away, I'll send you another Comforter, the Holy Ghost, which will tell you of all the things to come. And He will also tell you of all the things that I have taught you." And that's a paraphrase of John chapter 14. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, not only to teach us, to lead us into all truth, but also to tell us the things to come, right? And that's what the Lord was doing in the days of old. If you read the prophets, He'll tell you that. How many times did the Lord warn God's people, kings and nations, about those future things that were coming? You can read about that in the Acts of the Apostles also. There was a time when Agabus, the prophet, came in to the midst of the church and said by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "There's going to be a famine in the land." And nobody knew. Everything was quiet. Everything was still plentiful at that time. God knew what was coming. So the people of God were warned by the Holy Ghost through that prophet in the New Testament, that there was going to be a famine. And people of God were able to prepare for that and do the necessary things, as you read it in the Acts. Now, the same Holy Spirit warned the Apostle Paul not to go to Jerusalem because Barnabas was waiting for him there. Who knew that? Ain't nobody but the Holy Ghost, God Himself. So, then we see that we have a living God right on through the Bible. A living God speaking, teaching, rebuking, calling to repentance. But He'll tell you of the things to come as well. He's going to warn the people of God of those future happenings. He always wanted to save and to lead and protect the people of God. And that was the same way it was in Russia during this period of time we're talking about. Around 1931, there was a call of God, "My people, get ready to move out." And there were only a few hundred people who were praying and seeking the Lord. "Lord, when do you want us to lead out? Lord, where do you want us to go?" They were praying and fasting. Because when the Lord warns you, there's time to seek the Lord's face. If He warns you of future things to come, of any danger, then that's the time to really fast and pray and seek the will of the Lord for His further instruction. So they were praying, and the Lord said, "My children, now this is the next city where you need to go." Now, being farmers in Russia with horses and buggy, there wasn't no cars or trucks at the time. Even now, Russia is still pretty backwards in the way of machinery on farm. Anyhow, at that time, it was just horses and buggies, and there was one central railroad through Russia. And the Lord spoke to these farmers who had never traveled more than 65 miles in their lifetime, only to the next village on horse and buggy. Now, to these farmers, the Lord said that He will move them out into another country. And that they were in the central Ukraine at the time, in the area of Kiev and a little bit south. The Lord told some groups from that area who were praying and fasting to move to the next city south. And when they came to that city, the Lord told them where to move to another city. He would give the name of that city. And He was moving them from city to city, telling them names and addresses, just like in the days of old. Just like we read about in the Old Testament and we read about in the New Testament. How did the Lord direct those three men to look for Peter? How'd they know where to go? Well, they were told the location. They were told the name of a person, where to look for him, and they came right to that house, didn't they? How'd they know? It was only by God's direct intervention and by God's direct revelation. And that's the kind of God we believe, and that's the kind of God that was working in Russia and in China, and He's still alive and well in Canada with those Russian people and America. And if anybody is willing to believe the Word of God and have that living faith, because Christ said, "Have faith in God," He said. To have the faith of God is what it really says. Christ said with a very sad note, "But when Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith in earth?" And that's the question which should stand in our mind as we minister. God knew the condition of the churches in general all over the world. That in the last days before His coming, that's going to be the condition. There's going to be a whole bunch of churches. There will be many believers. But will there be much living faith in the land? That's the question. Christ, by His divine wisdom, knows that in the last days before His coming, the church will be asleep. And that's the parable of the 10 virgins, you know. And the ideal picture is that the people of God will be waiting in the last day. They're going to be preaching about the coming of Christ. They'll be waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. Yet Christ said the same church, the same 10 virgins, slumbereth and slept. They were waiting for the coming of the Lord, but then we read that the Lord tarried. And there's also a reason why the Lord tarried, but we'll talk about that some other time. Anyhow, the people were moving from town to town by direct instructions from the Lord, telling them where they ought to go. Just like in the days of old, they knew the place to go. God would tell them exactly where to go. And eventually they came to the border of China, and boy, there was a test there. And if you remember, in the days of Israel, as they were being led out from Egypt, the Lord told them when to start out and when to move. The Lord told them where to stop. And they camped and stayed until the Lord told them to move again. So when a time came for this little Russian group of about 200 or 300 families were moving south, they came to the border of Russia and China. There was a stopping place by the border of Russia and China, and the people were praying all the time. Every day they were in praying, saying, "Lord, what's next? Lord, what do we have to do now?" And the Lord said, "My children, just wait and be patient, and I'll tell you when to move." In the meantime, they had to feed their children. They left their cattle back home, remember. They had left their horses. They had left their land. Everything was left behind. And this was a small group from the whole of Russia who decided to pay the price of obedience and leave everything behind. And that was the same thing that was required of us. Leave everything and follow the Lord. That's the same thing that the Lord requires of Christians today. If anyone will not forsake all what he has, he's not worthy to be my disciple. Luke 14. Wouldn't that commandment apply to us all, even in this generation we're living in right now? I absolutely think it is. I know it is. Well, these Russian people, they left everything behind, and here they had to feed children. And these Russian families were with many children. There's a whole bunch of children there. What did they have to do? Well, they went out and they searched for work. They went into orchards. They dug channels for irrigation. They dug ditches, and they did different. They did whatever it took to put bread on the table. But there was a problem of accommodation. There's always been a problem of accommodation in Russia. Even now, they had to live someplace. So what did they do? They went up a little outside the town, and they dug caves into the side of the mountain. And the whole group lived in those caves for a long period of time, praying and seeking the face of the Lord. Lord, what's next? And that was their place that they stayed, in those caves. Can you imagine living in a cave? How many bedrooms you reckon they had? Did they have a flushing toilet? Oh, I don't know, but I think not. Did they have running water in those caves? Did they have a separate bed in privacy and a locked door? I'm sure they didn't. But each family lived in a cave, in a hole in the mountain. But praise God, that was a group which was willing to follow the Lord at any cost, praise God. Early in the morning, around 5 o'clock in the morning, a brother would come and he'd start to sing a psalm. And the Russian people sang lots of psalms. They just put music to them. And he'd start out with his big voice to sing a psalm, and then everybody woke up. And they'd wash their faces, and they came out, and they start worshiping the Lord right there on the grass, right in front of their own caves, and praising God, and ascending their prayers to the Lord, and seeking for His guidance, for His direction, and for His protection. And you know what happened? Before long, there was a little murmuring started in the camp. Now, following the Lord ain't always roses and lollipops, is it? And if we read the Bible sincerely, check how the men of old lived. Take a look at how the prophet Elijah, Isaiah, and Micah lived. They didn't have all these luxury rooms. They didn't have a luxurious lifestyle. They didn't have a comfortable life. They didn't have a rich life. How many bedrooms you reckon Elijah had for his own accommodation, or any of those prophets? What about the apostles? Did they? I don't think so. These people were seeking the face of the Lord, but still, the murmuring started in the camp. And here's what they say. Well, we left our cattle. We left our milk cows there. There's no milk for the children here. Lord, what do we do? And they started to complain, and they started to murmur. Wives started to complain to their husbands. Now what? What is this? We're stuck here. There ain't no going ahead. We don't hear any more instruction from God. And the Lord told us He's going to deliver us into a new country. But we're still here in Russia. And we are in this poverty. People started to complain. And quite a number of them decided to go back to their lands. Now, it was 1931 or 32. Everything was peaceful. There was plenty. And so they said, well, we're going to go back. This must not have been of the Lord. Have you ever heard that? That's when that stupid demon jumps on them. the Lord had moved them supernaturally from city to city and got them right where they are. And then they say that, this must not have been of the Lord. That's that stupid demon that jumped on them. They never had maps to move. There was no geographical maps in those days. They didn't have a GPS like we've got in our cars and our vehicles. So how would they know what city to go to next? But they were brought to the border of another country, all the way from the central Ukraine. They knew it had to be of the Lord. Another uprising started, and they began to murmur and complain, and quite a big group decided to go back to their cattle, to their farming, to their milk cows, the warm houses, and to that degree of comfort. So they were longing, in a sense, to go back to Egypt. And they said, let's get rid of Moses. Remember that? Let's put ourselves in new leaders. Let's run on back to Egypt. We had things there differently. We had onions. We had garlic there. We had good things there. Now here we are. We're going to die up in this wilderness. That's the same spirit of unbelief and the same spirit of murmuring that can be among God's people today. When it gets a little bit uneasy for you, you want to give up and go back to Egypt. Following the Lord and His direction and His guidance is not always roses and lollipop, folks. It sometimes can be hard. You can sometimes feel like you're being pulled through a knothole backwards, as a man used to say. Then, during one of the prayers, the Lord said, my children, just be patient and humble yourselves and pray. I'm going to lead you to another country, and I'm going to save you from great trouble and great suffering. Just trust me. But, here's what he said, but if anybody returns, their children will be taken away from them, and their husbands will go to Siberia. And the Lord told them there, right there at the border of China. And he also said this, he said, also some of the mothers will eat the flesh of their babies if you return. Well, that should have been a wake-up call to all of them. But it wasn't. That's that stupid demon that jumped on him. And once you're in disobedience, that demon's got all the right in the world to go up in there and block whatever the Lord's saying. In spite of what that warning, the majority returned back to Russia. And there were only left about 40 families left by the border. They were faithful to stay, to pray and fast and trust the Lord. They weren't starving. They had a piece of bread, but it was not very comfortable to live in that cave. It wasn't very comfortable to depend upon from day to day to the Lord, because they had no secure jobs to go to every day. There was no security at all. The only security was in the Lord. And how many of you know that that's the only security we need? They decided to trust. And what happened? The rest of them returned to Russia. Later on, about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, 1933 came with a big crush on Russia. It was the year of the taking away of old properties, confiscating all belongings, houses, land, horse carts, horses, everything went to the government. The food was taken away from the farmers in order to force them onto the collective farms, in order to bring them into the collective government farms. And those who didn't want to go, they died of starvation. Their families did as well. The husbands were taken to Siberia as enemies of the people. So in 1933, 6 million Ukrainians alone died by artificial starvation. And among them were a lot of Christians. The word of the Lord was fulfilled and came to pass right to the dot. All those Christian brethren who returned in 1933 were taken to Siberia, like God said. Their children were taken away from them and went to the government schools. And when the starvation was happening, some of those relatives came to China later on, told them that some of the mothers, being believers, ate the flesh of their babies in the Ukraine because of their disobedience. Some of you are saying, how can a God of grace be such a cruel God? It ain't got nothing to do with the cruelty of God. It was sheer disobedience on their part. That's the same thing that happened to the Israelites back in the Bible. Were they not commanded to obey the Lord? Were they not commanded to follow the Lord's commandments and be a holy nation, an obedient nation? But the Lord said, if you will not, then my blessing will be taken away from you. Don't we read in the Bible that the Israelite mothers, the people of God, the holy nation, the separate people which God elected unto himself, ate their children? Yeah, they ate them. They didn't have nothing to do with God intending or wanting them to eat their babies. No, it was the spirit of unbelief, of disobedience. It was the work of the enemy that troubled the people of God. They were not watching and praying enough to stand in the faith and obediently trust in the Lord. And every bit of that came to pass. There was great trouble, and many thousands and thousands of brethren went to Siberia. And there was great, great trouble from 1933 on in Russia. And in the meantime, a couple of months after that other group went back to Russia, the little group that was left there by the border in those caves heard the voice of the Lord. And he said this. He said, "My children, get ready. We're going to move into another country." So when they were fasting and praying, the Lord divided those 40 families into four groups. And he named the heads of the families. He said, "My son, you and you and you," the Lord by the Holy Spirit named the heads of the families that he divided into groups. "You will be leaving on such and such a day at midnight, and I'll lead you out into another country." And so the Lord, in his divine providence, he took them across the border into China. And it was only a miracle of God. Only he could lead them across. Because they'd never traveled that far in their lifetime. They never had guys. Because they could not reveal their intent. They couldn't tell them what they was doing. Because everybody was watching everybody else at that time. There was a whole lot of surveillance going on in every village. And everything was being watched. And they said, "Lord, we have the government here, too, in this village where we live, in this city. They're watching us. How can we move, Lord?" And the Lord said, "My children, don't worry. I'll lead you out." And the Lord told them to leave at midnight. They were praying from evening right to midnight. When midnight came, they were in prayer, seeking the Lord, saying, "If you told us, help us and lead us out." Now, for that particular group that Boris's mother was in, the Lord raised a great storm. And there was a big wind with a big commotion and noise. Even the dogs on the street didn't bark. Everybody went into hiding. It was a big storm. And the Lord told him, he said, "It's time to move out." They left in the darkness of the night at midnight. And there was no KGB watching the streets or walking in surveillance. There was nobody on the streets. The streets were empty. They left from the outskirts of that town, and they went quietly into the darkness. The Lord was leading them through the night because it was very close to the border. And because they were close to the border, they it didn't take them long to get there. The Lord led them through by the wild path in the bush. And hear what the Lord was doing. He said, "Y'all take a left now, or take a right." They didn't know where to go except that the Lord supernaturally led them, turning them left and then turning them right. Group by group, they all went into China. And but also, in spite of God working, in spite of God's miracles, in spite of the presence of the Lord, you know, there's always an element of man's flesh that tries to enter in and to disobey and do his own thing. All groups went through safely without coincidence but one group. And they were being led by the Lord, and he was instructing them. And the moon was shining, but it was still quite dark. The path that they were on was quite wide and worn. They were on the passage that the Lord had told them to get on. And all of a sudden the Lord said, "Turn to the right, my children." And it was just a little bitty path going into the bush to the right. So they stopped there. And a couple other brethren said, "Well, why should we go to the right? The path we're on is big and it's easy to walk for our children. We got all these children. We got all these kettles. We got all these pans. If we go through the bush, we'll be scratching ourselves. And we'll be doing this. And we'll be doing that." And they murmur. And it's very hard for us to walk, and mothers with the children. And so they started reasoning logically within themselves. And they said, "Well, let's just go straight." And after that, the voice of the Lord hushed. There was no more. So they went straight. You think there was disobedience there? I guarantee you. They just walked straight. Anyway, they were the ones that were to lead. And not very long after this, they came into a wet area, and they came into a very big swamp. And those two brethren who had taken over the leadership and had rejected the leadership of the Lord, the divine leadership of the Lord, happened to fall into the swamp. And as they started sinking in the mud, they cried, "Lord, help us." People had to take off their shirts and quickly make a rope and throw it to them so that they could save them from certain death. That's what it means to disobey the Lord. When you want to do things your own way and not the Lord's way, you're liable to find yourself neck deep in a swamp. When they came to the shore, they finally got them up on shore. They were soaking wet. And the people started to weep, and they cried bitterly, "Lord, forgive us. We disobeyed your voice, Lord. We wanted to go on the easier path. Lord, forgive us, Lord." And they were repenting and praying for a couple of hours, and the voice of the Lord was not there. And eventually, as they really were broken down and really crying before the Lord, the Lord spoke to them in a very stern rebuke. He told them, "Never, never disobey the commandments of the Lord when He wants to lead you to safety." Boy, that's something we all need to remember. Never, never disobey the commandments of the Lord when He wants to lead you to safety. So the Lord forgave them, and the Lord told them to go back to the point where they had to turn. And this time they had to turn to the left because they were coming from the other direction. So they turned to the left in this little wild path, and it led around that big swamp, and they went all around that big area. They went around in a circle, but they were all on a dry ground, praise God. And when they came to the other side, there were animals coming to drink at that swamp. And once again, they got back on the big road. And the Lord knew to lead them around the swamp, but the people wanted to go an easy way. And what happened? They got in trouble, didn't they? And that's what happens when people disobey the Lord and His Word. And finally, they came to China. And there was a whole bunch of miracles that happened on the way. And each group was led on a different path and in different ways. And one group, as it crossed into China, came into a little wilderness area, which was completely desolate, with just sand and nothing else. It was a literal wilderness with sand and no growth and no vegetation. And they came to that wilderness, they had to walk through. The Lord told them, He said, "Just walk through, go straight." So they were walking with children on foot. The children were crying. The heat of the sun was burning down on them, and the waters in their kettles ran out. And they were walking for quite a long time, and they were crying, "Lord, we are exhausted. We are thirsty. Lord, our children are crying. Lord, what are we going to do?" And the brethren called the group to prayer. Boy, that's the first thing you ought to do. They knelt down as the Lord had taught them to do. Our people were taught to pray kneeling, down, or standing, never sitting up or lying down. And that's to show that God is a mighty God, King of Kings. He's worthy of us bowing down. They bowed down before the Lord, and they started to cry, "Lord, what do we do, Lord? We'll die in this wilderness, Lord, if you don't help us." Then the Lord told them through the Holy Ghost, "My children, go so many steps to the right and dig." So they obeyed the Lord. The brethren obeyed the Lord. They went to the right as the Lord directed, so many steps, and they started digging. They didn't hardly dig any, about a foot or so, as my mother related, and the water came gushing out. And they were praising the Lord, and they were drinking, and then they laid back on the sand, and they drank again. Everybody got their thirst quenched. They filled their teapots, and they were glorifying and praising the Lord's name, that He is even able to supply water in the wilderness where there was no water. So only the Lord knew where the water was. You know, if the Lord could get it out of a big rock like He did the Israelites, He can get it out of the sand, can't He? So praise be to His name. Praise God. All those groups came safely into China, and the Lord led them into the same little town. Every one of them came and congregated together, and he led them all into that same little town where they started to gather again. They were praising God there. And then slowly, they established themselves. The land was rich there in China. And they came into a mountain area, which was an isolated area. And there wasn't much population there, but it had very rich soil. So they started to farm, and the Lord blessed them. And pretty soon they built very simple houses, mostly mud houses, with dirt floors, earthen walls, and with some poles for the roof covered with straw, which were very simple dwellings. But in those dwellings, the people gathered for prayers daily. They were mighty prayers. He said, those people believed in prayer. Prayer was the secret of the apostolic success. And Boris says, as I read in my old-fashioned Russian Bible, the apostles were in the word and prayer daily. Why do the churches want to sleep today? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the spirit of prayer departed from the churches. You want to have a prayer meeting and not have anybody show up? You want to have a meeting and not have anybody show up? Just call a prayer meeting. Today, the people of God, I'm talking about in the apostate churches, ain't nobody want to come up here and pray. But I'm telling you, they're going to. It's when this great happening starts, this great shaking on God's people start. People are going to gather together and pray, and God's going to show them how to get out of there. Today, the people of God get busy with anything and everything, man-made program, this and that, but not prayer. The spirit of prayer is lost. And therefore, you find out that God's Holy Spirit can't work because there is no prayer. The Lord's hand is moved through prayers. We know that here. We've been taught that here. We pray. God warns us. We pray against those warnings. And God always answers. So the people in Russia and China, they believed in mighty prayers. When they prayed in one accord, like in chapter 4 of Acts. And that's what we all need to do. When we have something to pray for, we need to pray in one accord. They raised their voice with one accord and prayed, Lord, help us. Praise God. And then here Boris relates this. He said, my wife and I were born in China. We grew up there. When the time came that I came to the Lord in China, I was at those prayer meetings. Those were mighty prayers when the young people would gather with the older brethren, with grandmothers and grandfathers in a room in a simple hut. Heaven came down, and the Holy Spirit came down and talked to the young people, to rebuke them, comfort them, and reveal secrets of the heart. The Lord would bless, and miracles would take place in those prayer times because God loves the praises of His people and their prayers. We experienced revival in China because the Lord started to send this simple group of 40 families. He started to send them into different villages. And there were quite a few Slavic villages because many Russians and Ukrainians had run away from Russia just before the revolution and the big wars of 1914 and 1915. There was a war between Russia and Germany, and there was big turmoil in Russia. So many thousands of people ran away from Russia while it was still free, while the borders were not yet guarded. And the borders were quite free at that time. Many people ran away and settled in that area of China. So the Lord was sending this little group, and they were telling them to go, and they were preaching the gospel in these Slavic villages. And within a very few years, the Lord blessed the church, and they gathered the first harvest in China. There were about 500 members within a few short years. The church was a mighty church. It was a praying church because it was blessed of the Lord. Even in China, with the miracles and signs which were in days of the apostles. You know, the Lord is no respecter of people. But He seeks for those who want to see the face of the Lord. He wants a living faith which is willing to obey the Lord. The Lord was doing mighty things in China. And from 1932 on, they were going through the villages. But anyhow, the central group was at that town where the Lord brought them. Even though there were little groups in different villages, but like a mother church, so to speak, in that town where the Lord originally brought them. So the Lord was blessing His people. But during that time, all the people were walking in the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord, you're going to walk in the steps of the Lord. You're going to do so as as best you know how. They were walking in very, very humble obedience to the word of the Lord and obedience to God's commandments and his principles. Now, this church was a separate church from the world and from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, because it wasn't nothing but a bunch of simple farmers, and there was not that they didn't have the same temptations that we have here in this modern age, in modern world. We had nothing. They didn't have any of that back in China. Those people were just walking in simple obedience and trust. And they were a humble people of God, being farmers. So that was a group movement from Russia into China. He moved his people from Russia. But here's one incident he relates. There was a brother, he said, who was living across the Ural Mountains, probably about 1,500 kilometers away from Kiev, which is central Ukraine. His village was towards the east. He went ministering to the people there in his village. This man was a man of prayer. The Lord was with him and the Lord was teaching him. And the time was coming that there would be a great crush coming on Russia with confiscation, killing and shooting, and finally exile in Siberia. There were different rumors that there will eventually be a control on Russia. So this brother was praying to the Lord. He said, you know what these people are talking about here? There are rumors that we'll be persecuted and killed in Russia. So Lord, help us and protect us. Lord, save us. And on one of the nights while he was praying, the Lord said to him, his name was Ivan, which means John in English, my son Ivan, I'll lead you into the country of China. And the Lord said to him, get ready for the journey. So the Lord gave him a night that they were to leave. On such and such a night at dusk, you're going to leave this village. And the Lord told him what to do. Now, this brother was quite well off because he had 8 cows and 2 purebred horses. And to have 8 cows in Russia in those days made quite a good farm because you could have chickens and different things. And this was quite a good farming operation. The Lord said, leave your house, leave your cattle, leave your purebred horses, leave everything. Put your milk cow onto the horse cart, harness her, and put her onto the horse cart. Take a couple of bags of millet grain and some other food and leave this village at dusk in the darkness and leave on such and such a road. And the Lord told him to take a side road out of the village. And the Lord gave him the name of the next village when they needed to go to. So that this brother was puzzled. Because he had the good transportation, a good buggy, and his horses were good. But because he was a man of prayer and obedience, he decided to obey the Lord. And so when the night came, he harnessed his cow up. The Lord even told him which cow to put on there. He told him the name of the cow. He harnessed his cow to the horse cart. He put the lights in the house. He fed his cattle. He fed his horses. Then he put his children and wife on the horse cart and was quietly leaving the village. And as they were passing through the village, the people of the village saw someone traveling at dusk. They were saying, oh no, we got another gypsy family coming into our village. And at that time, gypsies were traveling throughout all of Russia. They were stealing, they were doing witchcraft and doing all kinds of things, begging. And that's how they lived in Russia. They never worked in Russia. And there was a whole bunch of gypsies at that time traveling through Russia. And they did that for many centuries, too. So the people thought that gypsies were traveling on the cow. And it was a common sight that they traveled on the cow. And why was this? Why did the Lord do this? Because at that time that they left, there was strict control and surveillance. People couldn't move in and out of the village because Russia was already gathering control on all the people. What did they do in Russia, this lowly prepared population? Each neighbor was told to spy on his next door neighbor and report what that neighbor says and what that neighbor does and where that neighbor goes. So each neighbor spies on the other and reports to the government, to the KGB, without knowing that the next door neighbor was also spying on them. They did that in secrecy. And then sometimes they got a reward for it. And so, you know, they were paid for their ill-gotten ways there. People were doing that, so movement was checked real close. So if this brother would have harnessed up those horses, it would have been of immediate notice that he was leaving town. And nobody was allowed to move from town to town or village to village without permission from the authorities at that time. Boy says we experienced that same thing in China in the communist time when they became communists in 1947. You had to have 4 stamps on a piece of paper. And the reason for where you were going and for how long you were going to go. And before you can leave town for only 10 kilometers out sometimes. It was the same type of control in China that we experienced. So we know what we're talking about. It was the same condition in Russia. So then this brother left quietly. He was taken for a gypsy. The Lord sent him on a side road. Then what happened at midnight on the same night? Right after midnight, the KGB came to take this brother to Siberia because he was proclaimed as an enemy of the people. He was a rich man, supposedly. So his property would have been confiscated that night. He would have been taken to Siberia, gotten rid of, because they killed a lot of folks back then. And some that they used for labor. And these they took to Siberia. A lot of rich people were just simply taken out and shot with a machine gun. They killed a lot of folks back then, millions and millions of people from 33 and all. Anyhow, that brother left, and when they came to pick him up, there was no man and no family. They just disappeared. They didn't know what to do. The horses were there. Everything was there. The lights was on in the house, but no man and no family. They were amazed. And so they waited for morning. They saw tracks leaving the gate. They saw the direction in which he left. They harnessed his horses. They made a big chase along that main road. And of course, they were chasing for a long time, but they came to no results because the Lord had sent them on a side road. And the Lord promised that man that he's going to take him to China. And of course, he had no education, and he didn't have any road maps. All he had was the Lord. So he had to totally depend upon the Lord, and all he knew was the name of the next village. And he prayed all the time. They prayed at night. And they were traveling on the cow. They pastured the cow and they milked the cow. They used the milk to make porridge from the millet and feed the children. They praised God. And if they traveled on horses, they couldn't have milked horses. But they milked the cow. God is so smart, isn't he? The Lord uses the simple, the uneducated, and the most unwise of this world to confound the wise and the prudent. And the Lord put the KGB to shame by simply letting this man out to security and safety in China on a cow. Praise God. I'm going to stop there. I'm out of time. I hope to continue this a little bit next week if the Lord wills. So praise God, folks. Obey the Lord. That is better than sacrifice. Thank you, Lord.